Welcome to our sermon series entitled The Core. The Bible can be an overwhelmingly long book, but in this sermon series we will examine the five most important books in the Old Testament and the five most important books in the New Testament. Clear thinking about these 10 books will make it easier for you to understand the entire Bible. Today's sermon title, Psalm Models for Worship. Open your Bible to the book of Psalms, and let's begin.
There's something about seeing somebody else do something even difficult that makes it more accessible to us. If we can't see somebody do it, then we're left to guess, and sometimes we don't even feel the motivation to try because we don't know where to begin. The book of Psalms is like that video. It is watching great saints worship. When you read the book of Psalms, what you're seeing is great saints worshiping. Now, I know in modern Christianity, the only thing we call worship is singing songs. And that's sad because singing is a very small part of what worship really is. So in the Psalms, you have 150 examples, different kinds of examples of people worshiping. And we're going to look at some of them as models that we can use to enrich our own worship. You say, why is worship a big deal? Because the prophets spoke for God and said, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That is a poetic way of saying, these people talk the talk, but their heart never really worships me. They go through the motions, they live a Christian culture, but their hearts don't know how to worship. And rarely do. And so we're going to look at examples of worship so that you might enrich your worship. Let's begin with what does the word worship mean? The word worship is a contracting of two words, worth-ship. Just like friend becomes friendship. Friend is a person, friendship is a quality. Sportsman, sportsmanship. Sportsman is a person. Sportsmanship is a quality. Do you get it? Well, worth is an object. Worthship is a quality of reverence for something that has great worth. When we talk about reverence, we say it is a quality of heart that shows reverence for something or someone of great worth. Let's look at these examples. How do I worship God when I feel like He disapproves of me? Do you ever have the feeling that you've disappointed God and He disapproves of you, or He disapproves of something you did, or He disapproves of something you didn't do? Anybody? How do I worship God when I have this sense of His disapproval? Psalm 6, 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are all troubled. If I feel like God is unhappy with me, I worship Him by saying, dear God, could I please have grace instead of a rebuke? I know I deserve to be rebuked, but could I please have grace instead? See, if I know how to approach God when I think He's unhappy with me, I'm more likely to worship Him. If I don't know how to approach Him and all I expect is a rebuke, I'm probably not going to worship Him. So in this psalm, the psalmist says, I knew God was unhappy with me. And so I said to him, I deserve to be rebuked, I know that, but would you please be gracious to me? I just don't think I can take you rebuking me right now. Could I please have grace instead? There's a quality of character that makes worship more prominent. Psalm 15. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent, and who shall dwell in your holy hill? That is just a poetic way of saying, who spends the most time in God's presence? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks the truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor. This whole chapter is full of qualities that if you develop them, you will be more likely to worship. You see, if you try to be a person God likes, you're going to worship more often. If you're not concerned whether you're doing the kind of things that God likes, you're less likely to worship. Have you ever been outside in nature and you felt this impulse to worship? Anyone? Maybe you were at the lake, you saw the water, and you just felt like, you just felt the presence of God and something in you wanted to say something nice to God. Anybody? When you're maybe in the state park or something. All right, listen to this. The reason you feel that impulse is all of the universe worships God. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech and night to night reveals knowledge. What's happening is you are catching the rhythm of worshiping nature. If you're having a hard time worshiping and something's stuck in your heart, maybe it would be good to go outside. Let nature lift your heart as nature worships. You would worship with nature. You don't have to be in this building except on Sunday morning. You have to worship here and Saturday night. Do you have times in your life where you're not sure what to do? Your life has confused you. It can be hard to worship when I am confused. Psalm 25, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. You see, this is an example of worshiping when I'm confused. And so in worship, I say to God, I'm not sure what pathway I should take, so please make me know your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. You're the God of my salvation, and you're the one I value to guide me in moments just like this. Do you see how that's worship? Even when I'm confused, it's a call to worship. I bring my confusion to God and say, I value your way above anything I can do myself. I value your paths above my paths. Would you please guide me in your way? I'm worshiping through confusion. I'm saying to God, I value you as a teacher. This is our week of prayer. Every day this week at 5 o'clock, at 6 o'clock in the morning, at noon, and at 6 o'clock in the evening, people are going to gather here and pray. I'll be here every morning at 6 o'clock. I'm a morning person. I like the morning. I'll be here with coffee. Some other wonderful people will be here. We're going to sit together, and it's my agenda this week to say to God, there are some things I'm not sure about. Would you please teach me your way? Would you please guide me in your path? I can't do this without you guiding me. I'm worshiping by saying, I value your leadership. Would you lead me through these areas I'm not sure about? church? Sometimes it's hard to pray and worship when we know we have to repent. Does anybody ever get the feeling like God has to be tired of me showing up one more time and saying, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot? Anybody? Does anybody else get that feeling? Dear God, here I am again telling you what an idiot I am. I'm sorry. And sometimes I get the feeling like, why would he listen to me one more time, tell him I'm sorry for being an idiot? And then it's hard for me to worship. But Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love and according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Listen what the psalmist says. I'm asking you to have mercy on me, not because I deserve it, but because you are a God of steadfast love. Now see what's happened? I've shifted from my not being worthy to this great worth of God. You have this great character. It's so worthy. You are a God of steadfast love. And the only reason I'm asking you for forgiveness is because you are a God of steadfast love and you are abundant in mercy. You see what's happened? I've turned my eyes from my own default to the worth of God. I'm worshiping. Even in repentance, I'm acknowledging God's great worth. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Some of you know you need to repent, but your thoughts about God have kept you from doing it. You're worried that he'll humiliate you, that he'll judge you, that he'll abandon you. Church, you got to turn those thoughts into worship. You got to think again, that is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is worth a great deal. He has steadfast love. He has abundant mercy. It is his heart. It is his heart to forgive me. When I feel that, I'm worshiping and it's easier to repent. Church? Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night, start working, solving problems? Huh? You're working the night shift. You're laying there thinking, hey, guess what? You're not going to come up with any good ideas in the middle of the night. It's just not going to happen. I thought I did a couple of times. Woke up the next morning and said, that was stupid. All right, what about waking up in the middle of the night and worshiping? Instead of laying there worrying and working, you could worship. Psalm 63:6, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. I'm turning nighttime worries into nighttime worship. I'm turning nighttime upset into nighttime relaxing in the great worth of God, in the great ability of God, in the great love of God. Church, that's good for your soul. Your spouse may not appreciate you breaking into song in the middle of the night, but they certainly can't have any objection to you quietly connecting with the great worth of God and meditating on who he is and asking him for the peace that passes understanding to guard your heart and mind through the night. It's worship. There's a prayer, Psalm 71. I call it Prayers for Old Souls. Listen what the worshiper said. Psalm 71:18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. until I proclaim your might to another generation and your power to all those to come. Young people, here's the sad thing about getting old. You hope you keep enough hair to go gray. Anyone? I'm looking at a lot of shiny pates out there. No, here's the point I want to make. Here's the fear of old age: irrelevance. No one needs me anymore. Maybe God doesn't even need me anymore. Have you ever thought no one needs me anymore? You will. You will. I take that thought to God, and I say, God, you're not like everyone else. Even in old age, when I can't do what I used to be able to do, and there's a lot of young bucks out there who can do everything with more energy, I know you still value me. I'm worshiping, I'm acknowledging the default of my age and worshiping God through it. Can you hear that, church? Even the disappointments of old age become prompts to worship. Psalm 78 is a historic prayer. It's a long psalm, and the whole psalm is talking about Israel's history with God. Psalm 71:41. They tested God again and again and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his, they did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe, when he performed signs in Egypt and his marvels in the fields of Zoan. They are rehearsing their history with God as an act of worship. What if you rehearsed your history with God as an act of worship? Remember the times as a child when God blessed you, when he met you. Remember the experiences of your youth when God directed you and you made choices that were really wiser than who you were. Remember the time God saved you from your own stupidity and your own wickedness. Remember the time he blessed you and how you felt when your children showed up or when you got a new job or when you finally got out of an apartment into your first house. Remember your history with God, and as you remember your history, worship him. I can look at my childhood and say, I didn't even know it, but this was God meeting me as a boy. And as I remember that, I worship and say, thank you that you cared about an insignificant kid like me. I remember the mistakes of my youth, and I say, dear God, thank you that you didn't let me ruin my life when I was trying my best to do it. You see, I think through my life and turn all of that into worship. It all becomes an act of acknowledging God's great worth in my life. Psalm 96. I could have chosen 50 psalms for the worship of for prayers for grace, worshiping God by asking for grace. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your servant, give your strength to your servant. Do you hear that act of worship? I'm acknowledging God's worth. God, you are valuable because you are so merciful. God, you are valuable because you treat me better than what I deserve. God, you are valuable because you're slow to anger, and I know if you weren't, I would have ticked you off bad many times. God, you are abundant in steadfast love, and every day you're faithful. Do you hear the psalmist worshiping, acknowledging the value of God? And God, because you have this great value, I appreciate when you show me favor, when you're gracious to me. when you give me the strength I need to live the life you've asked me to live. I'm thinking about the character of God, I'm thinking about his great value, and I'm turning it into a prayer request. Psalm 93, worshiping divine majesty. The Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He's put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. You can think of many majestic things in the world. The majesty of the Grand Canyon. The majesty of looking at the Milky Way on a clear summer night. The majesty of seeing a horse run across an open field. The majesty of watching deer cross the road and thank God you were going slow enough not to hit any of them. There is a great deal of majesty. Sometimes we need to quiet our hearts and connect with the majesty of God. This just incredible God, he is robed in majesty. He's put on strength as a belt. He is from everlasting to everlasting. His majesty is beyond description. And when I think of him that way, it lifts my soul and I'm worshiping. Everyone in this room is very blessed, whether you know it or not. If you don't think you're blessed, you're looking at the wrong things in your life. You are blessed. How about turning divine blessings into worship? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You can worship God by just looking around at your life and thanking him for all he's done, blessing his name for all he's done. In fact, when was the last time you said to the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul. You just blessed him. Your heart was so full of how wonderful he is that you just said, bless you, O Lord. Church? All right. I'm not quitting. I know you're getting tired of it, but I'm going to drag you through this. Christianity is a thinking religion. It's not all Jesus cartoons, okay? Here's one you don't want to hear, but let's do it anyway. Study is worship. Study is worship. Psalm 111. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. If you see the great value of God, you want to study his work. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He's caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He's shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He's commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. You just listened to this worshiper studying the character of God and worshiping for him for his character. Did you hear that? He said, I studied you, and these are the things I learned about you. And because I learned these things about you, I worship you. Maybe you would feel a greater impulse to worship God more if you knew him better. Maybe you're bored with the sermon on worship because you've not seen his great value. You've missed the wonder and the majesty and the dignity of who he is. And you've been content to live a life of Christian rhythms, but not really Christian worship. Worship needs to be an emotion. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. In the very same way, you need to say out loud to the people around you, I love you. I need to say out loud to God, I love you. Church. It's an act of emotional worship. I'm saying to God, I value you so much, my heart loves you. Church. Do you have emotional connection to God? Or have you been content with something less than an honest touch of your heart to his great character? Psalm 30, waiting worship. There are some things that are worth waiting in line for. Not many, but some. Most of the time I wait in line, it's because I have to, not because I think it's worth it. Anyone? I wait in line because I have no choice. The supermarket doesn't have enough cash registers open, and so they're making me wait in line. I don't know that what's in my basket is worth them making me wait that long, but I don't have any choice. I go to get my license sticker, they make me wait in line. I definitely don't think that little sticker is worth the time I've waited in line for it, but I have no choice. There are some things I will wait in line. I think it's worth it. Church, do you think God is worth waiting for? Or does he have to be instant, or he's not worth waiting for? Church, do you have a fast food God? You bark into the speaker, pull around, and expect him to throw the food into your window as you drive by 10 miles an hour. And if he doesn't do that, somehow or another, he's not lived up to your expectation. I believe God is worth waiting for. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. I will be at prayer this week. And there are some things I've been praying for 37 years. From the very first day of prayer we had to this day right now, I have been praying for those things. And I will sit quietly here while someone else is praying, and I will say to God, I'm still in line waiting for this. I believe it's worth it, and I believe you're worth it. Church, one of the ways I worship God is I say, you're worth waiting for. And if I have to stand in line for your attention and your blessing, I'll stand in line. There are times when we need to let God see everything. Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Do you know it's an act of worship to throw your whole heart and mind open to God and say, I'm not hiding anything from you. I'm not excluding anything of my life. I'm not categorizing you over here. This is your stuff, God, and this is my stuff. I'll let you do whatever you want with your stuff, but don't mess with my stuff. Church, it's an act of worship to simply throw your heart open and your mind open and say, search any place you want. Look at anything in my mind and anything in my heart. You're worth me being vulnerable to. That's an act of worship. It's also an act of humbling yourself before the Lord. Psalm 145. Exalt the Lord. Worship God by exalting him. Listen, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and I shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All right. Now, I want to take this psalm and model for you how to use the psalms I've talked to you about or any psalm you pick. All right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how I take this psalm and I follow it as a model for worshiping God, okay? So here's what I do. I start with saying, Dear God, I believe you are worthy for me to exalt you. I believe that you deserve to be blessed forever and ever. On this day, like every day, I want to praise your name. I want you to know that I find you worthy of the best things I can say about you. I think you're great. I think your greatness is unsearchable, and I can't figure it out. So I pray that you'd give me the capacity more often to recognize your greatness when you show it to me. I want to worship you by telling the generation that comes after me how great and mighty your works are. I don't want to keep this all to myself. I want to share with the people who come after me what a wonderful God you've been and what great things you have done. So that I can properly worship you, I'm going to meditate on your glorious splendor and your majesty and your wonderful works. Then I say, Dear Holy Spirit, help me to think about what I know about the glorious splendor of God. Bring to my memory what I've read in the Bible about his majesty. Help me to remember the wonderful works that I've read about in the Bible and that I've experienced in my life. I want to worship you, and I need you to help me by guiding my thinking to do that. When I meditate about these things, then you speak of the might of your awesome deeds. Your spirit speaks to me. And if you will do that, what you speak to me, I promise I will share with someone else. When I meditate on you, and the meditation pours forth the fame of your abundant goodness, I'm going to turn that into a song that I'm going to bless you with. Dear God, please forgive me, but you said I could make a joyful noise to the Lord. I have to have a disclaimer when I sing to the Lord. Then I say, Lord, I believe you are gracious. I thank you for being gracious, and I pray that you'd be gracious to me. Lord, I believe you treat people better than what they deserve, and I pray that you would treat me better than what I deserve. I pray that you would be merciful to me. I pray that as I go about my day and I do things that tick you off, you would be slow to anger with me. I pray, dear God, because you have this great heart of steadfast love, you would show your steadfast love to me today. Lord, you are good to all. And because you're good to all, could I be included in that all? And would you be good to me today? Could your mercy please be over me today? I value you. I appreciate you. Thank you for letting me talk to you this way. Now, that's not too hard to do, is it? You take the psalm and you personalize it. You're worshiping God by personalizing this psalm. All right. I'm making one more run at you. I'm making one more hard run at you. Do you really want to stand before God with a lifetime without worship? Do you really want to show up to the Almighty and say, I see how great you are now. I'm sorry I missed all this. I would have worshiped you more if I had only known. Church. Do you really want to say, do you want to show up to God and say, I'm sorry I just never took the time to take worshiping you personally? Church. I don't want any of us to stand up before God with a life that is empty of worship. I don't want any of us to stand before him and he'd say, oh, you finally show up now. I want everyone to stand before him and be comfortable because for a lifetime you've been standing, sitting, kneeling, laying in his presence, and you've come to know what it really means to honestly, from your heart of hearts, worship God. And so when you stand before him, it won't be something shocking and new. It will be a continuation of the life you have been living as a normal way of life. Church, worship is more important than we have made it. And I'm trying to raise your inclination to worship and use the Psalms as a model for doing that. And that's why the Psalms are one of the most important books in the Old Testament.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.